Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, and streaming live on YouTube, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and the next round of Banks Bracket Madness. And now, still devastated that Valley College didn't make the tournament, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on Mandy. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. We love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
That's a no-no.
All right. Much to talk about. Much to complain about. Got a lot of tweets about the Uber and the guy in South Carolina and the killer. Mm-hmm. And lots of stories about people having people jump into their cars and jump into other people's cars, which I do not doubt. I do question. I'm still curious if that guy went up posing as that. Now, he went up at 2 a.m.
Closing time.
Closing time. I checked the municipality because it'll vary.
Yeah, true.
But we got two out here in New York. I don't know. New York used to be four or something like that. But
Chicago, six.
You pull up to that place at closing time, you're looking for this. Mm-hmm. Now, you can go, as Max Pattis said, well, now everyone has Uber and Uber's marked and it says it on the car and blah, blah, blah. But when people are drunk and they're stumbling out of a place.
I got many, many tweets today from Uber drivers. Like, people just hop into my car. Like, they don't even, like, ask or look.
There is no doubt that that happens 1,000 times since we've been talking about it. I'm curious if this guy's MO was, I'm going there to get somebody to jump in my car.
That was exactly my question as
and
well.
And then it strikes me that a lot of people are there with boyfriends or friends or groups or two girls. Like, so if that was your MO, like you're going to pull in at closing, you're going to get drunken chick jump, wouldn't you get multiple drunken chicks in there or chicken dude or two dudes?
Yes, but then it's just easy to say, hey man, what are you doing? This isn't your car. And then, oh, sorry, dude.
So they jump out. Yeah. And then you wait until the single chick jumps in.
Yeah, to me it wasn't even is this his MO? It's what is the percent chance that this wasn't an MO? 5%, 6%?
Well, I don't know. He pulls up at closing time. Mm-hmm. Is he like how you know they have video footage of it? Like it's kind of hard to tell because he wasn't sitting there. According to the video footage,
he just
pulled up
fishing.
And they just got in.
Yeah.
You know, like, did it happen that fast? You know what I mean? Like, because if they've given him a chance to get out of his car or not get out of his, it would have been telling.
Yeah,
meaning if he'd pulled up, stopped, and sat there and not got out of his car, he's definitely fishing. If he pulled up and got out of his car, then he's there for some other reason.
I only saw the video with you guys that was for 4 seconds or what we saw, but the girl who got in clearly did for Sarah, you know, or whatever the thing was, and he obviously probably said something to the lines of, yep, hop in, or whatever it was.
Well, line six is, what name is that?
Mayank?
Yeah, from Salt Lake City.
Mayank.
My Yank and Crank My Yank says, well, we'll talk to My Yank in a second, but the serial killer.
Kellen misspelled it. It's Mitchell.
caught the serial killer early and he was pretending to be an Uber driver.
That's what they think. That's what he thinks.
Oh, okay.
I think it's floating it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see if there's any insight. I'm open for discussion for sure.
And meanwhile, this was going to
happen. And now this is going to happen. Now, how do we prevent this?
Well, I have a possible solution. I was going to put this in news, but since we're talking about it, it's just a sentence or two. The president of that University of South Carolina, is sort of calling on all students, but I think all of us should do this. Before you get in someone's car, ask the driver, what's my name?
Yep.
Because that will come up on their app.
There's a lot of fail-safes that probably fell unsafe because of the drunken nature of it.
But you can't remind people of that enough.
They give you the license plate. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can't. The problem is 2 a.m.,
yeah.
five hurricanes, all bets are off.
You didn't
see the Uber bumper sticker on the back? Like, no, because I'm drunk and it's late and I'm climbing into a car.
I'm trying to do the right thing by Ubering.
What are the chances? Plus, just a noticed all the pussies and the safe spaces and all the folks that are going nuts because Ben Shapiro's coming to the campus to give a lecture.
And drive Uber?
What happened to this young lady is an attack.
An actual
Ben Shapiro
definition of an attack.
Sharing some words from the Bible at an event you don't attend is not an attack. Let's not conflate. Let's always keep in mind what real attack is versus a guy's coming to your campus and he has thoughts.
You disrespect this woman's memory by equaling the two.
You're also not really doing a very good job of allocation of energy, because there's if you're spending all your energy trying to get a group together to protest Ben Shapiro or whomever, Jordan Peterson, from coming to your campus versus Uber Awareness Month. You know what I mean? Like, it's here's a bunch of things you should know. Yeah. Here's a leaflet. Take this. And we take all these bars, and at the bar we have a volunteer stand out by the door and make sure that drunk people don't.
Great.
That would be a nice allocation of energy and resources.
Make an actual safe space.
Yes.
So people don't get in cars with murderers.
Yeah.
So you're saying some safe spaces.
Some safe spaces. All right. I want everyone's take on what's going on with Biden. I also I have mixed feelings. I have
it's creepy Uncle Joe. Get it right.
I have some graffiti news, which is
you're taking up graffiti now?
Well, I should. Somebody tagged my building, and then I get some like noted
the hell does that
building tagged. It's just I don't know, gang stuff on the side of the building, whatever. And nobody's better equipped at going out there and painting it than me, because I have all the materials and all the guys and all the everything.
You're going to paint that day anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
It was Tuesday.
But I got a warning notice from the city of Glendale, and I violated code BS. Well, they got that right.
Sounds about right.
BSC V8. I like that. 60.3 violation prohibited graffiti located on outside of property. I do like the fact that
you got cited for the graffiti.
I'm in violation.
Why are you being victimized twice?
I just pay a shitload of taxes and get nothing in return.
How quickly did they tag you? I mean, the cops. How quickly did they cite you?
How long was that up before you got that?
They got it like the next day.
Lickety split.
And I got to remove prohibited graffiti and maintain the property graffiti free at all times. Otherwise, I'm subject to a large fine. What are the fines? It was like $180 and then it doubled or whatever it was.
They didn't offer you a
window of negligence.
No.
It's about $350 if you don't clean it up, and then plus $122 for them to come out and inspect. So it's almost $500.
Inspect.
This day and age of everyone's got a digital camera on their phone. Do we have to send the union city employee and his fat, lazy ass out to inspect something in his right-wheel drive Chevette? Or can I just take a goddamn picture of the wall?
Hold up today's newspaper.
My hotel from outside the wall and just take a picture on my camera and just send it to their office?
The timestamp?
Not going to do enough? All right.
If you do clean it up and they come, it's no charge for the inspection. They send you a thank you note.
Oh, isn't that nice?
And then they have annual cleaning fees if you want to contract their department to clean up graffiti.
Well,
what
like
is that going to do if you can't go 24 hours without graffiti on your wall?
I'd like to contract their department to clean up the goddamn toilets and box springs and mattresses that are strewn all up and down the street behind the warehouse that they've noticed.
We can finally solve this. Let's go graffiti them. Let's go graffiti the toilets.
Well, the box spring is graffitied. Okay, so man. If you go
the punch.
If you go behind the warehouse,
God is love, Nazi pigs.
God is love, Nazi pigs.
There is a cacophony, a never ending stream of junk and bad. You guys can move on with the pictures, but there's just a ton. I mean, there's just boxes and chairs and mattresses and toilets just strewn.
It's a dump. No, colloquialism.
It's
a dump. To be fair to the city, it gets cleaned up periodically. Like, I'll see a new toilet there every once in a while and some new junk. Like one of those beaches in Africa where they dump all the heavy metals.
You'll see some new heavy metals from time to time.
Got an element of that. But my feeling is, you're Johnny on the spot when it comes to my shit.
Yeah, there's
you're
no one to
not
take it.
Not so quick when it comes to the mattress. The mattress has been out there for months. Months and months, and so is the junk and the stereo equipment and everything else. It's just a side street that runs along the freeway, and everyone dumps their stuff there. So, I don't know, maybe practice what you preach a little bit. Perhaps put that on your pointed round.
Yeah,
put that on your list. Now, look, I like the idea that they don't want gang graffiti and they're keeping on top of it and they're not going to let it turn into some mess.
But give it a day.
I get it. But you really need to also enforce this when it comes to your side of the street, too, which, of course, they don't do. But this is kind of how cities work, right? This is why I'm not a fan of the man.
You got a fix-it ticket.
I got a fix-it ticket. But I do like the notion of being in violation of this thing.
The code.
The Biden thing. I'm trying to take a dive into Biden's brain here, and I want you guys to help. Because he had this gal, I think her name was Lucy Flores, and she gave a press conference on, she got her shoulders rubbed and he sniffed her.
Yeah.
Stuff. He probably kind of treats women like I treat avocados in the produce department. I look at them,
right.
Squeeze them a little, I'll sniff them a little bit, hold them up to a light, this ask goes someone what they think.
This one goes in a brown bag for a week.
Yeah.
Pinch the navel.
So, now, it's definitely weird. The sniffing part is weird. Mm-hmm. We have her, she did a press conference, but she was on Good Morning, whatever the Daily Show, or not the Daily Show, but she was on one of those news junket shows, and you can have her talking about it. She's kind of funny because she doesn't speak correctly, which is a new, my new thing where people go, I literally jumped out of my skin. I literally.
I'd like to see that.
Literally. She's talking about rubbing her shoulders and sniffing her hair, and she's like, this is never acceptable in any context. And it's like, well,
a
husband and wife are allowed to do it in their bedroom, aren't they? It's not acceptable in any context. Yes, it's acceptable in most contexts except for on stage at a political rally. Right. You actually got this one backwards.
Yeah. But this is in regards to her New York Magazine piece where she said, I felt him get closer to me from behind. He leaned further in and inhaled my hair. I was mortified. I thought to myself, I didn't wash my hair today, and the Vice President of the United States is smelling it. And also, what in the actual F? Why is the Vice President of the United States smelling my hair?
Or why is anybody smelling your hair, I guess you could say. It doesn't have to be. Although, I would find it more interesting if the Vice President was sniffing me versus a stray dog, a hobo, or anyone else that might sniff me.
She led off with, I hadn't washed my hair that day. So if she was April Fresh and smelled like Prel, would this even be an issue?
Was this a humorous piece? I'm being serious.
No. Was it on April 1st?
You can find Max Bad, I'll take the call. You can find the press. I'm calling a press conference. She was interviewed on Meet the Press or Good Morning, whatever. You're looking at me confused.
Oh, we have the clip.
Okay. Well, then nod your head.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on your screen, clip one.
Sorry.
It's a lot of words, Chris.
Yeah. Biden learned Democratic nominee, governor. Okay. So let's listen to it, sir.
Would you like Joe Biden to apologize to you?
I would like him to at least acknowledge that his behavior has an effect on the women that he is touching inappropriately. Because it is an inappropriate touching. There is, in no other context, is this behavior okay?
Ever.
Are people just getting dumber? Or what's going on? Look, I don't read a lot. I don't know how to spell anything. But I do know how to convey an idea. And we're doing a lot of that. I think a part of it is, we're doing a lot of judging in our talking, and they go, it's never okay for anyone in any circumstance to put their hands on another, how about a surgeon working on a, it's rarely okay.
Them and a massage therapist.
When you make a lot of sweeping proclamations, you're going to be wrong a lot.
Overcorrecting.
In any context, there are many contexts where this is absolutely fine.
It's encouraged.
If a father was standing behind his wife at the funeral of a teenage son, and he rubbed the shoulders and kissed the back of their head.
Smelt
that would be completely
deep
fine. Yeah, well, he sniffed and he kissed her head. Now, don't get me wrong. Something's up with Biden.
Yeah.
Well, did you see the newest one that came out? This woman, I think Amy Lapos, said that he pulled her in and made her rub noses in an Eskimo kiss with him.
There's
he has a long history of this being recorded on television.
Yeah.
Like, imagine what's going on behind the scenes.
I don't think there's like a lot of, I don't think it's super nefarious because he's doing it on stage. Like, he's not worried about it.
Anything but.
There is something he does that's a little weird that I heard he would do some laps in the presidential swimming pool. He liked to swim naked, and he had like female Secret Service, whatever. And that's kind of one of those weird ones where it's like you get naked in front of just regular like guys are working, they're standing around, you're naked.
It's not wrong. It's just you shouldn't do it.
The impulse is weird. Mm-hmm, like if you said, "Hey, I'm at the White House. I'm gonna take a few laps down in the pool." And you went like, I'm going nude. And then someone would go, well, there are people coming in and out, and it's during the day, and you have some Secret Service down there, and then some of them are ladies. You'd go, I'll put my trunks on. But you wouldn't go, I'm going naked. Yeah. They can just look the other way. Like, that's a weird one.
I feel like he's always been like this, because don't you remember, I feel like there's so many images in my head of him sitting next to Obama, and Obama just kind of like putting his head in his hand and just kind of shaking his head. He's just like a crazy old
I want to be consistent, though. I don't like turning every mountain every molehill into a mountain. But there's something kind of lurking here that seems weird, and I'm trying to put my finger on it.
My take on it is that I don't think there's anything nefarious. I don't think there's anything sexual. I think he's trying to be maybe sweet, or this is his way of showing affection. He is a man out of time. Like, he is from another era. He's an old guy, 70-something years old. Like, this may have flown in the 1970s, but like, today, he's your grandpa who's like, that color guy who plays outfield. It's like, grandpa, you can't say that. You can't. At this point, that ship has sailed. He's from another generation. Yeah. Like, he's not built for this era.
Perhaps he doesn't represent the United States.
I totally agree. But the twist on that is that era was a slap the waitress on the behind looking good era. Mm-hmm. And that would make it a strike. Right. Like that, he does a thing. It's interesting. I was thinking about it. Like, you know, when a guy, the male on male version of this is the guy who shakes your hand. Mm-hmm. He shakes it a little bit too hard, and he does this weird pull it in mode.
Oh, pull
like
towards
guys
himself.
Guys who do a handshake and they pull it, they pull you in. Hey, man, and they're like pull it toward you.
You know that's Trump, right?
Like that, it's Trump.
Oh, yeah, there's montages.
And what they're saying, what those guys are doing is, I own you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in charge. For the time we're together, I'm kind of alpha here. Mm-hmm. I grab your hand, I pull it toward me. It works better if you're a taller, bigger dude, too. Mm-hmm. You always have. And then
you've leverage.
You've kind of set the table for the afternoon. Like, I'll be in charge of whatever this is.
Yep.
And so when you like come up behind a woman and you probably put your hands on her shoulder and you kind of get on, you're kind of going, here I am. Yeah. I'm in charge. I have dominion.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, hey, blow me now. Like that's not going to work. It's just, it's kind of a weird, I'd say it's, something like, I don't know, chimpanzees would do or something. Like, it's just a weird alpha-y, I'm kind of in charge. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch
subtle
of different
dominance.
Physical versions of that. So I think he's doing a little of that. Also, he doesn't have much rhyme or reason. Like, he does it to women in their 90s. He does it to young women. It's not...
It's not a predator. He's
he's not cherry picking.
Not a Harvey Weinstein situation. Right. Not everyone is a leading lady. Mm-hmm. It's just anybody. I don't make much of it. It's weird.
It's weird.
It's also kind of a thing where you would think, you know, where's his wife or where's his handlers or where's his whatever? Like, where is the person that goes, look, when you're on stage and you're standing next to the center, just kind of put your hands by your side. Like, you know, there's no reason to put your hands on her shoulder or give her a neck rub or anything.
Was it Pelosi who said, just pretend like you always have a cold? Like, just keep your distance, shake with a straight arm.
Yes.
Cough.
Vampire cough.
There's another, the young lady that was interviewed on MSNBC who had the Lucy Flores. She had another opposite answer on a question, which is, we'll play it for you. So then she was asked, well, what about voting? Would you vote for Trump or would you vote for Biden? Like now, after this, how would you vote? She responded.
Let me ask you something. If he were to be the Democratic nominee and he's up against Donald Trump, whose own history with women is, as we know, pretty clouded, who would you support in that kind of a matchup?
That's not even a question. Of course I would support Biden.
I would say it's a question.
It's absolutely a question.
You can go, there's no question. I would hope, but that's not even a question. It's almost the definition of a question.
It starts
would you vote
with a
for
who?
Candidate A or candidate B?
Yeah.
It's not even a question.
It's weird.
It's not even a question. Like, see, that's why I couldn't be an interview. I'd be like, it's exactly a question. Now, you're allowed to answer. You're allowed to say that's a no-brainer, but yeah. You can't put it back on me.
Ask any third grader if that was a question.
That's not a question. What if it was written down? Would you just spit on it or throw a snot rocket at it? Or
what is this?
What is this? I'm confused. All right, Mayank, how do you say that? Mayank?
Yeah, that's my name. The spelling is not wrong.
Where are you from?
I am originally from India, but I live in Salt Lake.
What do you do there? Something super highfalutin or you drive people around? I have no middle ground for the Indian people.
Yeah, I am a software engineer. I'm a complete stereotype. Yeah.
Those damn successful
Listen,
stereotypes.
Listen, I can hang my hat on a stereotype. I like a stereotype. It makes my life easier. I can navigate life much more easily.
Oh, Ernest.
Yeah, Ernest T. Bigot. I'm just asking.
Are there any fellows who are not computer engineers? I'm just asking.
So, yeah. So, did you come? How'd you get to Salt Lake City?
I came to study at the University of Utah for computer science, and I just stayed.
Cool.
And I'm starting, I've turned the corner on Indians. I have.
Okay.
Get that drop.
I'm starting to like them more and more.
Okay.
You guys.
Did you start off not liking them?
Yeah. What was the problem?
You know.
Food's great. People are nice.
It was confusing. Oh, okay. You know, I grew up in North Hollywood.
Sure.
It's the 70s.
You played Cowboys and Indians.
A couple of guys. There's that part. We had a guy. I don't even know if he was Indian, but his name was Ayaz Sheikh. And he had a little too much pomade in the hair.
Okay.
You know, hard to.
Wiley.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Hard to pin down.
Yeah.
I didn't know. But now, you guys are nipping at the heels of the Japanese.
That's right.
That's a huge
compliment.
Of
my...
Please don't say nip.
You are. It's never okay
you guys are
in any context.
The heels.
Yes. You are getting very this close to grabbing the baton. Death March from from the Japanese. That's how much I like you. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. You're doing great.
I never get offended by that, you know, dot not feather joke. When I first heard it, I was like, this is hilarious.
Yeah,
this is pretty funny.
Now let's not get cocky and start all with the comedy and all that business. Stay in your lane.
Taken care of.
Stay in your lane.
We got a Z's.
Ones and zeros.
Z's.
That's all you
That's
need.
Good. Yeah.
Ones and zeros.
So you have a theory about the Uber serial killer?
Yeah. I think he was just like a really frustrated guy, potentially a serial killer. I mean, that's the only reason you would be outside at 2 a.m., you know, waiting for girls to jump in your car.
Well, he was a black guy, and there are not a ton of black serial killers.
Not historically.
I'm kind of with Gina in that maybe this was a rape gone wrong.
Right. I mean, wrong.
Mm. Yes.
Gone more wrong.
Right. Thank you.
Right. I guess time will have us find out. It, to me, the scariest human beings on the planet. This is why I don't have a lot of time for the people who shoot for the dentist who shoots the lion. Like, I'm not a fan of that guy, and I would never go hunting, and it's not my bag at all. But I don't save up all my ire for that guy. To me, this guy, guys 25-year-olds, 24-year-olds to just drive around on a random Saturday night and pick up random 21-year-old college students and just physically kill them in the woods. It is funny that we live in a society where there's much more outrage for dentist guy shooting a lion than there is for guy who just randomly picks up college 21-year-old and kills her for no reason in the woods. But I'm the exact opposite. Right. I save all my ire for these guys. And I wish we'd do a little more of that in society. But these are the scariest people on the planet. The people that, like, oh, the wife of 26 years was poisoning her husband to collect the insurance while he was having an affair or something. That's almost like their business in my world. In my world, she's no good. He's no good. Right. They're trying to defraud the insurance company, whatever it is.
She doesn't pose a huge threat to society at large.
She's probably not going to poison other folks.
It's unlikely. Unless she marries them, it's unlikely.
This guy's whole MO is to go after strangers.
Yeah, Natalia, she could be 9 years away from running into this guy's younger brother.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's the scary part. Mayank?
Yeah.
Salt Lake City.
It's hard to know, really.
How insanely different is Salt Lake City than where you're from in India?
It is quite different. There I cannot escape people. Here I have to really, it's like so different. You know, snow, freaking snow. Still we have snow. So
how are you?
It's really different.
How old were you when you got to Salt Lake? 18.
19, yeah.
How have you been treated?
I have been treated pretty fairly. I mean, like all the things you hear from people about racism and whatnot, everyone has been perfectly nice. I mean, sure, they had a tough time understanding me sometimes, and most of them didn't know where India was on the map.
Jesus Christ.
Include but, myself in the group.
But yeah, I have not had a problem, with people here.
Well, and here's another stereotype: Mormons, very nice people.
They're totally clean. This is my thing. It's like, I don't know. Hey, white religious guy, get out. You know, it's like, I don't know. As long as he's not trying to pull me into his church or indoctrinate me.
Decent good. Citizens.
I'd like the good neighbors to have. Sure. And so you landed here, in 2003 and or thereabouts. Sorry. And you landed in one of the liliest, whitiest place. You know, you didn't land in Venice Beach or Manhattan, New York City. You landed in lily white Salt Lake City. You're a stranger from a strange land, and people live and let live in general. That's what this country does. Okay. Thanks, Mike. How you doing? You got a family? You got kids?
I'm guessing he's not gay.
Yeah.
Not gay.
No kids, just a wife. And actually I did meet Adam when he visited Salt Lake a few years back with Dr. Drew, and I bought the Mangria. And true to form, like when we were all lined up to take photos, I went up. I was very, very nervous, but Adam didn't even look. He was like, "Yeah, buddy, just stand next to me.
Yeah.
Pose for a photo on the way." It was fun.
Thank you for
on brand.
Thanks for coming out, and thanks for your hot serial killer talk.
Yeah.
All right, let me talk about, we got a good, there's one picture of Biden that cracks me up, and we'll put it up at adamcarolla.com. He's kissing on a biker chick, which is funny. It's okay. It's the two dudes that I like the most, because they both kind of say it all.
Yeah, she's like, tee-hee, and they're like, nope.
The guy on the right is sort of like, what the F? And the guy on the left is kind of looking at the guy on the right going, what do you want me to do about this?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of a, you didn't know? That's what he does.
But the other woman's story checks out because that's exactly what he's doing to her, kind of sniffing at her from behind. That's his move.
Yeah. It's such a weird. You know how I say, I'm always fond of saying, like, whatever happens to you, you'll do it to yourself. And I don't do a ton of judging for people, or like, again, like people who rob liquor stores, like you're a junkie, you're desperate, you're unemployable, you need a fix, you rob the liquor store. It's the stuff you just impose on yourself for no reason. Like there is, you don't need to rub noses with biker chicks. You don't need to sniff people's hair on stage. Like, you know, it doesn't get you anywhere. I get even the, even the Jussie Smollett stuff. I get what he's doing. He's like trying to get himself up to the top of the social woke pyramid so he stays or whatever. Like, there, you can hate him all you want, but at least he's...
You can wrap your head around it.
Unless this is Biden's fetish, which is very unlikely. He can't compel him. He can't help but compel himself.
Yeah.
That's
anyway, right? I don't care. I just think it's a... It's a weird thing to do to like sniff. I don't know why, but the sniffing takes it somewhere different. The kissing on the head and the rubbing the noses and the hugging and the rubbing the shoulders. I'll find the sniff. The sniff takes it somewhere else.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about Scott's Turf Builder. Easy to get the lawn of your dreams simply by feeding your lawn a few times throughout the year. Feed your lawn four times a year with a thick green. You'll get a thick green and lush lawn. Help crowd out the pesky weeds, create a greener, stronger, more resilient lawn. Scott's no quibble, money back guarantee. If you're not satisfied, you get your money back. Once you hit it once in early spring, you hit it once in late spring, you hit it for the summer and for the fall, and you get a greener, stronger lawn all year long. Let's have that Scott's lawn. Let's be the envy of the neighborhood. Start your Scott's Turf Builder program today. This is a Scott's yard. Let's have some pride of ownership, people. Let's have a Scott's yard. Put it together, man. Okay, let's see. Yes,
speaking Brian. Of Mormons, I don't think I've ever told this story, but it feels appropriate now. Years ago, many years ago, I went on a date with this girl who turned out to be Mormon. I'd known that when I went on the date. Mm-hmm. But she was very nice. And afterwards, after we went out to dinner, she's like, oh, my friends are having a party. We should go by. It's close by. I'm like, sounds great. It's at their apartment. She's like, oh, sounds fantastic. So I went to their apartment, went to this party. There's probably 15, 20 people there hanging out, having a good time, listening to music. And as I'm walking through the party, meeting everyone, hi, nice to meet you, I'm like, there's something really weird about this party. Like, this party's, there's something off about this party. It's not like the parties I've been to. Everyone having a good time, music's playing.
Oh, let me guess.
Not only... What are you going to guess?
No alcohol.
Well, not only that. Yes, I picked on that pretty quickly because I'm like, oh, but they'll have drinks in their hands or you have some sort of soda or something, water.
Fizzy cider.
Clean. Completely clean. I've never seen such a clean apartment during a party because no one's drunkenly setting stuff down, spelling things, leaving empty everywhere. It was the cleanest party I'd ever been to, including kids' parties.
You're right. Something was off.
Something was off.
That is the first thing you think of when you go to Salt Lake City and you walk around, which I have done a couple of occasions when you're from here with the toilets and the box springs strewn about. You go, why is this so clean? And then this notion where people, nations, whatever it is you're looking for, the result is the people. So if people are clean, this group of people happen to be clean for one reason or another. It's a culture, it's a religion, it's a whomever. That's who they are. Then the byproduct of that will be a big clean place. Mm.
Sure.
If you look at different cultures, you will find that there's different things they value, different things priority. They emphasize and prioritize or whatever that is. Yep. When I was in, I told you, I went to see my dad's house in South Philly when me and August were there. I felt bad for my dad for the first time ever. I was like, ugh, you grew up here? Yuck. And then we walked through South Philly, which looks like a war zone. And there's garbage and there's sofas parked out in the street and it's a mess. And then at some point we were just walking. There was like a diner that was like five blocks away. We're like, oh, we're going to walk over there. So one of these things where like we blew into the city. We had like 4 or 5 hours to kill before the show that night. So it's like, oh, I'll go see my dad's old pad and then we'll walk through South Philly and then we'll go to the diner. And I literally walked across a boulevard. Just not a main big wide boulevard, but just had a signal on it. It was a street. And it was a street like the street that runs in front of us over here. And we just walked to the other side. You walked to the other side. It was totally clean. It was so clean that I just stopped. I said, what's going on? We're just walking randomly through South Philly, and we randomly come upon a street, and we cross it, and it's clean. And it's not clean. The whole rest of the place is not clean, and now it's clean. Uh-huh. And it didn't happen subtly or over the course of multiple streets. It was like I crossed the street, I traveled 60 feet, and now it's completely different land I'm in. And so I do what I always do. I just start like asking people, what's going on this side of the street? Now, my first impulse was some sort of gerrymandering thing, like, oh, this is such and such's district, right, and such's district gets more money from donors or politicians or, you know, that was a political thing. And it's kind of true, like, you know, West Hollywood is very different than Hollywood, and when you cross into that area, you go,
it's pretty stark.
There's a different group of people that seem to be running this place.
Mormon.
But also, there's a different group of people who are demanding they run it that way. I don't know that the politicians vary much from land to land. It's the humans going, here's what we find acceptable, and here what is not acceptable, and this is what we want out of you. So I crossed the street, and I started like finding people. Like, what's going on this side of the street? Because you're here, you work here, you live here, so what don't I know? And they're like, oh, we're on the Asian side of town. And I'm like, that was like whatever street street you cross in to get into Little Tokyo or like Little whatever, that was the street. That was what defined it. And so what is it? Do they have more resources or what's going on? It's like, no, the people are out front of their store and they're sweeping twice a day. Like they are interested in what's going on.
Ownership.
And this notion that drives me nuts, like, oh, these people, they have nothing. They have their socioeconomic, they're down on the it. All you have, by the way, when you don't have money, I used to be this way. All you have is your back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You say, go get a broom and a dustpan and go clean up the front of your goddamn house. Go take that old mattress and drag it off to the dump. Like, all you have is time and back strength. There's no excuse and no reason not to do it. Culturally, you need to be tuned up. But it's not like, well, I don't have money, so I can't sweep the front of my apartment. It's like, yes, you can. I would argue I did much more of that kind of stuff when I didn't. Like, the people don't have money, the guys who scrape the fascia, the paint on their fascia, and reprime the fascia in front of the house
paint
or whatever.
Paint graffiti
it is
on the side of the warehouse.
Yeah.
Imagine how quickly we'd gotten to that in the poor days.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, but I would never own
never
a building.
The warehouse. So.
All right. We got a mailbag intro. We're going to the mailbag.
And now, let's shove our hands deep inside Adam's mailbag to see what treasures we may find.
I've been getting, you know, throughout the years, and I am at fault, throughout the years, you guys have sent great things to me, like paintings, and not all from prison.
Wood carvings.
Wood carvings.
Not all done
mugs,
with a golf pencil.
Like, all just so many nice things, and I rarely acknowledge it, but we thought we'd take a minute and talk about all the cool, some of the cool stuff
scripts
you have sent us.
That you've registered with the WGA and are the writer of.
Well, right.
I'm sort of the keeper here, where there's two pieces and a special, we'll say, invitation.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first one. This is a very cool Jules Dash mug with a likeness of Jules Dash on the mug.
Yes, says, good director.
It says, I dress oddly to be taken seriously. Jules Dash, artist extraordinaire.
Oh, my God.
And here's that for you. And then there's a note. Do you want to read it? You want me to read it?
You can read it.
Okay, here's some highlighted parts. It says, now that I've been relieved of my usual 9-to-5 career, I've started my own production operation, which has been growing for the last few months. Please accept this one-of-a-kind Jules Dash coffee mug as a token of my appreciation to you and your team. I'm a huge fan of the Jules Dash character, as I feel like he represents what artistry can often look like. A shout-out or olive branch would be greatly appreciated from your organization, as it is one I mostly respect and the example I hope to live by. This is Mark Rubalcaba. Thanks for all your time and hard work, he says.
Mostly respect.
He's got a couple of bones to pick.
Cool. I was not really kidding when I floated Jules Dash as my new alter ego so I can get some of these movies into Sundance circa 2011 or 12 or something like that. But now I'm pretty serious about Jules Dash.
You should embrace the Jules Dash persona.
Jules has taken on a life of its
own. I should. We also got a big carving.
Yeah.
It's a big piece of cedar that's carved
into. It looks like something from Close Encounters from a Third Kind, that Richard Dreyfuss would have made out of potatoes.
Yeah, it's very strange, and there is a note explaining what's happening here. This is from Jared in Indiana. He said, this is a cypress knee, an aerial root from a bald cypress tree. You've seen them sticking out of the water and filmed in swamps. The wood dings fairly easily, but if well cared for, it should last forever, indoors or out. The idea that something you made could be passed around for a few hundred years is some satisfying shit. I'd buy them with the bark already sunblasted off, then start burning. The damn things are works of art even before I touch them, so a solid burn groove turns them into something really cool to look at. I did hit the exterior with a double coat of Danish oil. Anyway, thanks for all you do for our country. Jared Harvey.
Thank you. And
it's intended for Joe Biden.
I do have you know, multiple warehouses, and these things end up going up. You see these things hang on the wall, and logs and flags and all sorts of stuff.
That'll find its way to the green room.
People craft. So thank you. And there's another.
This is amazing.
There's a new. What's that?
This is a wedding invitation.
But
it's a very, very special invitation. So this is from Kevin and Stephanie in Minnesota. They want you to please join them, you know, for their wedding on June 1st. So I imagine this is the invitation that the hoi polloi get, the groundlings, the normals.
Mm-hmm.
You got an extra piece of paper that says, our relationship has been influenced by many of our favorite friends and family. It's also been influenced by our celebrity squad of our shared favorite local and national celebrities. Surprise! You've made the list.
Oh.
As such, we'd love to have you come party with us at our wedding reception. Here's a list of the celebrities we're invited. This is the potential table you could be sitting at.
This from Minneapolis?
Yes.
So if Tom Bernard's on there, I'm out. But keep going.
All right. This is Jim O'Hare. You like Jim?
No, we like Jim O'Hare.
Let's see. Jason DeRusha. Not sure that is Minneapolis guy. Fallon Bond sent Minneapolis guy. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Mm.
Big heavy hitter. Chrissy Teigen and John Legend.
Mm.
Let's see. Mandy Moore. Barack and Michelle Obama. George and Laura Bush.
Mm.
Diverse.
Crossover. I think there's some
big
cross
of George Bush and Obama.
Colonization of people that wouldn't have sex with me. I think a few of those.
Oh.
I think John Legend's up there.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to shit on your point, but I forgot Pauly Shore's on here.
Oh.
He might have sex with you.
Yeah,
I don't know.
May.
He's a wild guy.
Who is this, Kevin and Stephanie?
Yeah.
I've mentioned this more than once. I tried to convince Christy and she wouldn't go through with it, but anyone listening, send out to have extra wedding invitations. Everyone gets extra. They have four or five extra. Send them to random celebrities, the bigger the better, the Clooney's of the world and the Carollas of the world and whoever, because their assistant's going to get it. They're going to open it. They're going to be like, I don't know who this is. Must be somebody. Send them a nice gift.
Yes.
You're going to get nice gifts from celebrities.
Or just something that you may be able to sell on eBay. My friend invited the Obamas and they got a beautiful, stamped letter of congratulations to them for their wedding.
Yeah, couldn't hoit. And every once in a while,
49 cents,
you'll
right.
get the goofy kid or guy in the military ask Sports
Super
Illustrated model to the prom, and they'll do it just for the photo op.
Right. Yep.
You could get a little
Absolutely.
Of that. Yeah.
Oh, like Bill Murray in the wedding photographs. He crashed on the stoop in Detroit or whatever it was, right? Somewhere historic.
Well, it was,
That was an invitation, obviously, but you never know what you end up with.
I think it was South or North Carolina for some reason.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But he was...
Right. Charleston.
He was just like walking across. He was like on the other side of the street. Got pulled into it. But I don't know if we enjoyed that doc. That was one he didn't really. I think he got yanked into that one. He was like standing on the other side of the street, and the couple who was being photographed like kept looking at
him. It's on Netflix. We can probably find the clip, but it was early in the movie, and I think he was standing behind the photographer. That's why they saw him.
Oh, said behind him. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, maybe he was standing.
The photographer was annoyed. Remember? Photographer was like annoyed.
Well, the photographer was going, what are you looking at? Look over here. And then the photographer turned around, and he was there.
Right.
But yeah, he could have just been behind him. Like intentionally doing it, or he could have just been standing and watching. Anyway, we got one more. We got a Newman painting. I think we already talked about once. Dennis. This is the.
That's beautiful.
It's a painting.
Yeah, it's a painting.
I wasn't sure either.
Did you get that off my phone? Sorry.
Oh no! This we had Gabe take a picture of it at the other shop.
Oh,
that's beautiful. My
yeah,
God.
Yeah, somebody made a painting of the 935 Newman car.
Wow.
And Dennis Mattson did. And he sent it in to us. So
that is beautiful.
Thanks to all you people who do all these things. It's touching, and I will definitely hang them up on the wall. But somebody made a painting of me up on a podium after a Trans Am race, and it's spraying champagne, and it's awesome. I mean, it's like it would have been. Growing up, easily the nicest thing in my home. All right, do we have an outro?
We do.
All right. We got Banks Bracket Madness coming.
Well, it wasn't quite treasure, but thanks to our fans for thinking of us. To have your mail featured on the show, send your packages and letters to 10061 Riverside Drive, number 276, Toluca Lake, California, 91602.
All right, and let me hit on that theme, stamps.com. Save time for your small business. Skip the hassle of the post office. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package with your computer and printer. And with stamps.com, you get 5 cents off of every first-class stamp, up to 40% off priority mail. We use it here. Everything we send out. We use stamps.com. No wonder over 700,000 small businesses use stamps.com. And right now, we got a special offer. Our listeners get a 4-week trial plus postage and digital scale. So you get the scale goes up to 80 pounds, I believe. You hook it up to your computer. You want to send this piece of birch driftwood across the nation. How many stamps? How the hell do I know? Go down to the post office? Well, that takes time. Go to stamps.com, put it on the scale. The exact right amount of postage comes out of your computer printer. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. That is stamps.com, enter Adam. All right. Banks Bracket Madness. Quick break. Right back with that right after this.
In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
Good morning, TPS students. It is testing week, and it's time to slay all day.
Yeet. Stay woke, beyond fleek, that Gucci breakfast.
Goals. Say bye, Felicia, to that testing stress. Weather's going to be turned, right, Chris?
Yes. Toledo weather going to be V-lit during testing week. 100P chance of success. You've got this, kids. Steve, how about that traffic? Are we looking
better than we're talking turn. FOMO won't be an issue. No traffic problems around any TPS schools to keep you from taking those tests.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I wonder what market that's out of. I sort of like those guys.
It's somewhere in Ohio, I think.
I think what the story was is they were doing all the top 25 most popular slang words, but I don't know. They sold it in their own way.
I never really got, I would sort of used to always joke about drop and trow. I never really understood the people who weren't the originator of the saying. Now, I take a lot of pride in being the grandfather of behind it.
Sure.
It's important.
As well, you
That's
should.
An important legacy. Yeah. It's a legacy. And of course, spunk shui and many other important words that I've coined.
Contributions.
Iconic. And not just America, because obviously spunk shui works in many Asian cultures.
Marie Kondo.
Well. And it has a very positive message as well, which is nobody wants to get caught beating off. They have to arrange your office in such a way. But either way. The folks that grab other people's stuff that's been used many, 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 many times and use it as a form of entertainment, it's kind of a weird one to me. I rank it up there with comedians who start laughing at their own joke before they get it out. I think there's sort of a nervous aspect to it, but it's also kind of a weird thing. It's your joke. You've told it multiple times. Yeah. You really shouldn't be cracking yourself up. I'd say there are times when things catch you or spontaneous or you're
caught up in the
whatever it is, but not consistently with the punchline. It feels weird to me. Yes.
By the way, Cardi B stole that from drag queen LaGanja Estranja on Drag Race.
I knew it.
Also, fruit fly I don't think is mine, Max Zapata.
I heard that one in seventh grade.
And
I was called that in seventh grade.
Falutin free I will take credit for, I think. All right.
This is hilarious.
Yeah. All right, we got Banks Bracket Madness.
Welcome back to Banks Bracket Madness, where there are officially less contenders than Democratic nominees.
Although nice is a different story. Right, Brian?
Yesterday, we had Sweet 16 matchups in the Corolla Conference and the Intro Conference. In the clash of the Corolla songs between Downtown Funk and Straight Outta NoHo, your votes move Downtown Funk uptown into the next round.
Nice.
It's an honor just to be included.
And in the Intro Conference, the original Rotten Tomatoes game theme battled the Drunk Tank. And your votes sent the Drunk Tank back to rehab. Atchity moves ahead. Before we review today's songs, let's listen to another song from the Intro Conference that didn't make it past the first round of the tournament. Going back all the way to 2006, Rich Banks wrote a cartoon theme song for a show narrated by Bald Brian, voiced by Damashek and Lynch, about original newsgirl Rachel Perry's avian tattoos. Let's listen.
He's dizzy, he's schnizzy, the birds that live in Rachel's vagina.
Hey kids, it's time for another episode of Dizzy and Schnizzy, the birds that live in Rachel's vagina. On today's episode, Dizzy and Schnizzy fly south for the winter.
Are you ready, Dizzy? It's almost time to migrate.
Almost!
Dizzy, what's that elephant doing in Rachel's vagina?
You said we were flying south, and then I needed to pack a trunk.
Not an elephant trunk. Oh, Dizzy.
Stay tuned, kids. Dizzy and Snizzy will be right back.
The birds that live in Rachel's vagina.
Wow. Terrific. A little racy.
She didn't take that the right way.
That was my question. How was that received? Okay.
She will be missed, but not by me. She'll be missed by somebody.
The first of our two Elite Eight matchups decides which moves ahead. 2000 podcasts.
Tabu Jew, Bungalow Sue, definitely not a Jew. Rich man, poor man, Bollywood, Kalen. Taxes, fair share, Jeff Ross, Rose, Eisen, and the Goalposts. Guinness record from Gervais, Celebrity Apprentice. Made up movie, favorite tweets, red bracelet for eating beets. Do his best, not your best, window of negligence. He sold out Seattle's more, Mangria's in your liquor store. What can he complain about? Mama's chanting freak out.
He's the 2000 podcast.
Or he's in there shitting.
Funnelier is on the crabber. You can hear him through the door. Don't go in after. He's in there shitting. He's in there shitting up the commode. He's in there shitting. He's in there shitting up the commode. In there shitting.
I hope Fondelier feels honored to be going up against the most epic song.
I'll say that's my pick
of the show.
My pick to win is 2000 podcast. This might be the stiffest challenge it faces on the way to the title.
Yeah. I was thinking about Rachel Perry.
Oh my God.
We should get her back in here.
We've been playing music for 5 minutes.
You know, there's that thing I always have. I think this is a compliment to many women, which is you being skinny doesn't make you hot in and of itself.
It
helps, but it doesn't make you hot. Like, it was funny. It was like, she's a hot model chick. And it's like, she's a skinny girl. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make you hot. It just makes you not fat. Like, mm-hmm. We always talk about the people. There's something to be said for not having anything wrong with you.
Yeah. I called it checklist hot. Skinny. You know what I mean? Tattoos.
Yeah, it's kind of Jennifer Aniston
you check the,
hot.
Blonde hair. You got the checklist.
Right.
Sure.
You check all the boxes.
Yeah. That's never been my thing. I always think I'm like a default guy. Like, I'd much rather have
a little more exotic.
Something. Yeah. All right. Anyway, she should be missed.
But not by you.
No.
Yep. Our second Elite Eight matchup pits a song about Matt's Yule logs.
If it's plop, plop in the toilet, you hear.
Back to back songs.
Plus the sound of him groaning, the bowls overflowing, you know to stay clear. It's the porcelain punisher, the porcelain punisher.
Porcelain Punisher against Powerhouse in the Grotto.
As the water swirls, a sloppy drunk girl gets on her knees, and a horny young man gets a disease in the grotto.
In the grotto.
And his penis burns. He'll need Valtrex to get it right. The downstairs itch he got that night in the grotto.
In the grotto.
So somber, so poignant.
Powerful.
So good.
Oh, Matt might have something to say.
Yeah, I just want to jump in here and say that tomorrow may very well be the single most important day in voting history this year. Oh, it could likely be the greatest day of my life, so get out there and vote, people.
Yeah, and by the way, no electoral college here. We go straight
popular
one vote.
Yeah.
Popular
true
vote.
Democracy.
Straight to the people.
Every vote counts.
And no age limit either, 16 or below. It doesn't matter.
Don't need ID?
Everyone gets a
Don't
vote.
Need it.
Everyone gets a vote here at Corolla Digital, so please get out there and vote.
And your votes will decide the final four. Tune in for more tomorrow. Banks Bracket Madness.
Brian, I'm getting the feeling you and I might have a perfect bracket, but I don't want to get ahead of myself.
I know. At 2000 podcasts, I got it going all the way.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty great.
It's tough. There should almost be a second category.
But yeah, at this point, these are all you know, worthy contenders.
In the world of racing, they have the GTP sort of like unlimited class, you know, a prototype class. You know, Patrick Dempsey comes in here. He races in the GT category, and he has a team in the GT category, meaning the car looks sort of like a Porsche 911, highly modified, but it sort of looks like one that you could buy. Mm-hmm. It's the GT class, and then it races against Aston Martins and other cars, BMWs and things that also look like something you may have seen in a showroom. They're all hollowed out with roll bars and tons of stuff in them. But then there's the prototype class. Those are spaceship cars that you've never seen before because they're prototypes. I feel like 2000 podcasts is in the prototype class.
Yeah, it's the best in show.
With no competition. Yeah. And all the other guys are duking it out in the GT class. And you can once you get on that Le Mans straight and that prototype's behind you, it just blows past you. It's a different vehicle.
Right.
So we have to make sure there's a special acknowledgement for number two.
Saying whoever comes in number two, now, you don't win
podcasts.
The race overall. The person who wins the race overall is in the prototype class. But you won the GT class if you come in at that.
Love it.
With that in mind, I have a Castrol Challenge question. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Castrol Challenge with your question for Castrol Challenge, brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces heat and friction, and three times.
This is hilarious.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetics. Yes, Max Manor.
A Garage X app on Instagram wants to know hashtag Castrol Challenge. German classic cars have been exploding in collector value lately. What do you think is the next emerging market? Japanese, British, French?
Look no further than Mexico, my friend. Now, see, when you guys laugh, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, that's
like when I say, oh, yeah, like my dad came over once and he had a six pack in his hand. He said, we're putting a deck on this place. And then everyone laughs. Yeah. Not
a
good sign.
There's
no reason why a nation cannot create a car.
Sure.
If you laugh, that's
some nations create many cars.
It's a bad sign. Yeah, Germany's doing real well. The Japanese stuff, and I mean all Toyota and Nissan and Mazda has a Cosmo and a few other. The weird little Japanese stuff is coming on. Very strong. So
does that help you with the Datsun stuff, or is that totally different?
Different class.
Yeah.
It is. it helps me 100% because I was collecting Nissans and Datsuns and old race cars and old weird stuff that nobody cared about at all some years ago, and now people care greatly about it. And so I would say Toyota, Nissan, Honda, not so much. Front wheel drive, not a good thing in the sort of collector department for some reason. It's kind of like four doors or backseat or something. Not as cool as whatever. But plenty of Mazda, plenty of Toyota, and especially Nissan / Datsun. So there you go. And thanks to Castrol Edge for that. Speaking of that, I'm in the midst. I'll try to draw a picture here with words. I'm in the midst of taking my 935 Porsche and putting it on a frame table and trying to bend it. Like the whole tub, the whole chassis. It doesn't have a frame. Just has a tub.
Okay.
So old school cars would have a frame. Mm-hmm. Then the car would sit on the frame.
Right.
Are you trying to fabricate a frame or trying to get a frame from a different car to fit?
Trying to bend the existing monocoque tub.
Right.
Well, all right. Picture a VW Bug. Mm-hmm. You take a VW Bug, you strip it all the way down to what it is. It's a tub. Mm-hmm. There's no frame. There's no.
You take an old
Ford truck or even a newer Ford truck. You see a big bars going from the front to the back and across, whatever. But the VW kind of got it started. It's kind of a European thing where they said, we'll build this thing like a tub and we'll hang the wheels and engine, everything off of the tub versus we'll make a frame, we'll put a car on it. I guess it's sort of like, it'd be like saying, we're going to make a house and we'll make a strong house, but no foundation. We'll set it down. We
like
won't
a prefab.
Build. Yeah. Although prefab would have a foundation. Mm. It's not the greatest analogy, but the point is,
like one of those sheds almost, like, you know, one of the comes built.
The structure will be the structure, will be the strength of it, not
makes
the
sense.
Railroad
okay.
tracks
How
going
do you feel
down
about
the bottom.
That?
How do I?
Yeah, versus having a structure.
Well, it's a lighter way to do things because you don't have a frame. But if things get bent, you can't really straighten the frame because there is no frame.
Right.
So that's why a lot of these newer little cars, they get totaled pretty easily because once the tub is bent, there's nothing to really straighten out.
Right.
You can do it a little bit. Now, my 935 from the center of the front wheel to the center of the rear wheel on the passenger side was an inch and a half different than the driver's side.
He just drove in circles.
It was a big, difference. It was big difference. An inch and a half is a ton. And I raced it that way, but something's wrong. And it means the tub of the car where the suspension is bolted on is probably tweaked. So we're building a frame table, putting the car on the frame table, and we're going to measure it, but we're going to have to pull it.
Wow. Jesus.
Bend it.
Is this a common practice? Not common. Is this done?
It's done.
Okay.
It's done, and I think we're gonna do it. But if you think about it, all you have to be is racked a quarter inch or 3/8 inch, and then you put the suspension parts out 16 inches from that, and it's really off.
So
just be off a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Who noticed, and how did you come to notice?
How I came to notice is Sean measured everything. There was an inch and a half different from the right and the left. He adjusted everything so that it was the same right to left. I went out to drive the car at the RenSport reunion. The car drove crazily bad. We went back to the pits, and I said, put everything back to how it was when it was off an inch and a half.
Oh, wow.
He put it how it was off an inch and a half, and now the car became drivable.
Weird.
Again. But seeing as how that car is going to Monterey and we got a little time, we're going to see about tweaking it, bending it, fixing it.
Good luck.
Yeah, it'll take some good luck to bend the tub. All right, so let's see. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back with the news and Gina Grad right after this.